lost focus on what my mission was.
Ronnie Long, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Ronnie Long spent 44 years in a North Carolina prison for a crime he did not commit, released in August after a federal appeals court vacated his conviction, and the state finally dropped the case. He voted for the first time this year. His website is freeronnielong.org. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Libby Rainey, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tedesena, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tay Marie Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey Massoud, and Adriana Contreras. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Excited to be part of Willamette Week GiveGuide this year. When you support KBOO through GiveGuide, not only does it support your favorite community radio station, it also gives a little back to you in return. When you donate $10 or more, you'll get full access to hundreds of local coupons in the Chinook Book app, plus a few other goodies. Available while supplies last, so donate to KBOO on GiveGuide today at kboo.fm/give. Thanks.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8 a.m. It's Monday. It's time for more talk radio with your hosts, Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Stay tuned.
Give me such a good, good feeling. So good, baby. Hey. When I think about you, baby, baby, I get all warm inside. When I think about you, baby,
good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well.
All right. I am Celeste. Hey.
I'm Cecil.
So, you know, we have a new theme song, that we're going to be using for a while. And I was chuckling because I was all ready to roll into it. And then we had our Monday gremlin that we sometimes have with technology when it just decides, you know, it's Monday, and who said I wanted to work? Who said anything about that? You know, Technology has its moves, I guess. I have this theory. I made this up as a kid, and you know, everybody feel free to laugh or comment, you know, or what have you. And I believe I came up with this when I would have fights in my closet as a youngster with metal hangers, because metal clothes hangers are notorious. They're notorious for not wanting to cooperate properly. And so they tangle up and they do everything, and you know, you can't get your clothes out, and kind of like when you lose one sock when you know that you had two of them. And I decided that it was all about the fact that they're inanimate objects, you know. And because they're inanimate, they don't have a life. And they don't appreciate the fact that you do, and you're imposing your life on them because they're not alive. They don't have a life, so to speak. So I figure that's the same thing going on with our technology on Mondays at KBOO. You know, it's inanimate, and it resents the fact that it has to be involved with your life because it don't have a life. That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's one of my theories of the world. And I guess that lets you know what kind of kid I was. I don't know what that means precisely, but, you know, there it is. Not having a life, it actually has a segue here. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I was chuckling because I was going to say, we have this theme song, and it's called We Gonna Figure It Out. And I figured that one of the challenges we've got these days here in 2020 is we're trying to figure out whether we got a life or not. At every corner, it seems we're being assailed. And even some of the folks that we've tried to get in touch with to interview for shows have struggled with the fact that they're not sure if they're going to figure it out or if they got a life. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way, you know, by any means. We're all going through something. Trying to figure it out, what the next step is. And we thought we had it figured out. We thought, okay, let me look at my watch. Let me look at the clock. Let me look at the calendar. Okay, I think we've had the election. I think we're just about done with Annoying Orange. This is actually a movie too, by the way. It's called Annoying Orange, but it's not talking about Trump, surprisingly. But you know, with the election, we just knew everything was probably going to be a little bit better if he would just lose. Okay, well, he did. He lost, but it's not better like we hoped for. What happened? Well, we're still dealing with COVID, okay? And people are suffering from COVID fatigue. As a matter of fact, if you turn on the news or if you scroll through your phone's news feed or if you go online, one of the first things you see is how everybody's dealing with COVID. You know, okay, already, you know, can I quit? But just like a bad penny, it keeps turning up, and we have to figure out how we're going to address it, how we're going to deal with it. For today's show, we wanted to talk about a couple of things, and it was so hard to even pin it down because there's so much nonsense going on.
All right, a little. There's those Monday gremlins again. Sit tight, everybody. We'll be right back with you. I think we have got there.
Okay.
I'm not sure we've arrived anywhere.
Well,
Monday, see, this is a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about. We're going to figure it out, though. Anyway, so here we go. Let me cut to the chase before I get cut off again. Just when we think we might be able to breathe again and exhale and inhale, here we are in a COVID spike. And people are wondering how it's happening. As a matter of fact, they're launching all number of studies trying to figure out how are we still having these spikes in COVID. So Multnomah County hit it worst of all in Oregon. We're under a 1 month shutdown. And at this point, people are freaking out because it's a holiday and we are approaching the 1 year mark for experiencing COVID here in the state. And this has got to be a really mind-numbing time because it's the period where we try to get together with family, and despite the imperialistic overreach of Thanksgiving, you know, people try to get together and celebrate what they're thankful for at the most, and at least get together with family and a friend. And we can't do that now. And if that wasn't an insult to injury, that also means a lot of businesses are going to be in a tenuous position, because here in Multnomah County, with a 4-week shutdown, that means that one of the peak business periods is not going to work. Because let's do the math, y'all. This is going to extend into December. So people are freaking out because that means, oh no, we're not going to be able to recoup some of the losses that we hope for, and especially some of the restaurant businesses who have tried to comply with the changes and have, many of them have spent lots of money trying to accommodate outdoor seating. And you can eat outdoors in the winter. I mean, people do it in other countries. But here's the point. It's spawned so many challenges that you even have people contesting it in terms of saying, well, we have to do a civil disobedience so that we can stay open and stay afloat and pay each other and not lose our shirts, to the Clackamas County Chair saying, oh, I'm going to have Thanksgiving with everybody in my fam and everybody I meet. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, super spreader folly. And that's just my take on it. I know you were looking at some of the more political aspects of this, I don't know, what should we call it, the maelstrom meltdown. You know, this has got to be a new dance or so, you know. but it's so many things going on, you don't even know where to start. Where are you?
Well, you know, I think all of us are in that place where we are trying to live into this new reality, and there certainly seems to be a pushback even before the recent spike in cases, which is a reason why there is a recent spike in cases, and is that people felt the need to do what people do, and that is that we are social animals and that we like to gather. And so, you know, initially we participated more or less along the requirements that medical professionals told us in terms of physical distancing and washing our hands and all the other etiquettes that will help keep us and those around us safe. And as time went on and on, more people are being less careful and taking risks that impact their lives and the lives of those around them. As you suggested, it has had a terrible impact upon businesses in terms of businesses needing to close, employers needing to lay off workers. And in terms of the the political angle, we find the inability for the U.S. Congress to come up with a relief plan, which will make it easier for all of us to live through this pandemic much more difficult. There has been a call from the incoming president to urge the Congress, the House, and the Senate to work for a relief plan, even through in the lame duck session, that would help alleviate some of the sufferings that people will face. But in the meantime, people are trying to figure out how to live. And as you suggested, here in Oregon, the incoming chair of the Clackamas County has resisted the call for safety. Now, the governor of Oregon has urged that indoor gatherings be no more than 6 people from 2 households during the time now until December 2nd, which will impact family gatherings. So we know how the incoming chair of Clackamas County is defying the governor mandate to limit social gathering. The question is how you, responsible citizen, will celebrate Thanksgiving this year. No, it is not possible for us to gather with friends and family from many households, from many places, to taste grandma's pie or to eat and watch football games with your friends and families. How will you plan to celebrate the fall festivals and possibly even the winter celebrations as we continue on this pandemic? Especially, I'm interested in hearing those who are living alone. Often holidays in normal times are difficult when there's so much emphasis around people gathering in social circles. Those who are living alone, you are unable to gather with perhaps more than one friend who probably have one household who are isolating themselves from other people. How do you plan to celebrate the holidays this year in this season? Give us a call at 503-231-8187 and share your thoughts and your wisdom. This is one question I have. And if you had any insight to the powers that be, either state or federal, what are some suggestions you would give to them in terms of what are ways in which they can responsibly respond to this pandemic and help us make things a little bit easier? Again, 503-231-8187 and Celeste. Do you have any special plans for this holiday season?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll be very honest. My colleague and I have joked about, well, she has this idea, and she'll probably spend it with her significant other, but we talked about sharing Thanksgiving flavored Pringles. So turkey flavored potato chips, and I think the other one is pumpkin pie flavored potato chips. And I started laughing, you know, because I think I said this to you. I probably said it to somebody else. I said, isn't it funny? It's only in this day and age and only in the United States are you going to get, well, not necessarily true, but are you going to get potato chips that don't taste like potato chips, and that's when they taste best? You know, hey, that's just my laugh on it. But, you know, I want to encourage people to call in and just give me your take on this whole idea of how we have politicized and stepped into the trap that is not just this administration. This has been happening, you know, worldwide in terms of people having less contentment or satisfaction with their governments and voting them out or becoming more oppositional in many ways to government mandates. And I find it's interesting that here in the United States, we have politicized this whole disease, this whole pandemic, to the point where this whole disinformation campaign, especially as it's manifested itself out of the Trump attitude, has spread from not only wanting to march against the election process and the counting of the votes and things that are actually ordained in the Constitution and other amendments regarding counting of ballots and the time it takes to certify, to the fact that we are not going to wear masks, to the fact that we are going to not adhere to health, public health sanctions because we don't believe them, you know. And I'm just wondering, where is this headed to here in the States? In other countries, you find that there's been some overthrows of the government. There's also some opposition to things like mandating immigration. A lot of countries have become really xenophobic. They don't want anybody else there. And maybe it's because they feel like they need to be taken care of first, or they don't believe that the government has their best interest at heart, or whatever reason, you know, they have. But you find that that's not the only reason, you know, that people are out here in the streets. It seems to be a general dissatisfaction worldwide, and I'm just wondering where people think this is headed, especially given the fact that you have an elected here in one of our neighboring counties that feels like the governor doesn't have a clue, you know, and his man, it is, I don't want to say mandating, but their opinion is, don't do as we've been told is good for us and has been demonstrated is good for us. Do what you feel like doing, because all this spike in COVID cases, that's got to be disinformation. That can't be true, you know. All these hospitals crying because they're at capacity and they're worried they're going to have to start triaging, and maybe your granny won't live because your 11-year-old neighbor needs to live, you know, and they have to make that hard choice. And well, granny is 95, and, you know, she's seen her best years, even though she's your granny and that's who raised you and you don't have anybody else. You know, that's where we're headed. And I'm just wondering how people are feeling about this, because this is supposed to be the season of goodwill and thankfulness, and yet here we are pushing ourselves off the cliff like a bunch of lemmings because of either fatigue or weaponized, you know, antipathy toward public health sanctions, or the fear of economic collapse, which is real. I'm not going to try to diminish, you know, that fear. And I'm not going to diminish the fear that people have about being lied to, or these dynamics of mis and disinformation. But, you know, who you going to trust? You gotta trust something. And if you can't trust your eyes, and if you're going to trust the knowing orange and all those similar machinations, you know, how are you going to account for the fact that it's been demonstrated you're not going to come out good? It's been demonstrated. You know, cities have been decimated by this COVID attack. 503-231-8187.
And this is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. So how are you manifesting, how are you finding a way to live through this? And as Celeste just reminded us, that all of us are experiencing some sense of fatigue. What are things that are helpful for you during these times? Maybe something you do, some practice you have might be helpful for others. And also, as we began our program by asking, what are the things or ways in which people are celebrating the holidays this year, giving the concern for safety and health, and the fact that you're probably less likely, unless you are invited by the Clackamas County Chair, and if you are, decline her invitation, I suggest, to celebrate Thanksgiving. Things are going to manifest itself in different ways and different ways in which people are celebrating. It's perhaps an opportunity to create new habits, new ways of doing things. So there's the possibility that many people are doing and finding ways of socializing distantly is the ability that people are gathering together distance over video, over some technology. So you're eating, sharing a meal, although maybe in two households, but over a camera. I know it's not the same, but that's a way in which you can socialize and share things together. There are other ways in which people are finding ways to socialize now during weather that was warmer, and here in Oregon not as wet. People have the opportunity to socialize while physically distanced outside, and creating ways in which people are doing things. What are some things you are doing to maintain social connections? And I am interested in how your Thanksgiving or other fall festival holidays and winter holidays will be different this year, and what are your plans? Certainly, we just recently passed through Halloween, and certainly that was experienced different in different ways than in years past. I don't know how many in terms of the habit of trick-or-treating, how that differed this year, and it's a little bit different. So Thanksgiving will be different, and certainly the winter holidays will be different. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and give us your thoughts on these matters.
We have Joan on the line.
Let's go to Joan.
Good morning.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, that's pretty amazing, because here I sit with my little phone and you can hear me and I'm on the radio, and this is very nice. I love your program. And
thank you.
So this is a great thing to talk about, and I think a lot of people are having trouble with truth right now. And I've got a sort of truth detector, which is that if it isn't kind, if there isn't kindness in it, then whatever it is, it isn't true. So if somebody's saying something to protect people's health, it seems to me there's some kindness in that, and that people could look at that and say, well, it seems kind to protect people's health. Therefore, in some way or another, it must be true. And Thanksgiving is about gratefulness, right? And everybody's, it's not about some holiday about some mythic thing with the Native Americans, which we know isn't true because we know what happened back then, as far as we can tell. There was a lot of killing going on. But we can still have a holiday and be grateful. And do we need to have some sort of routine in order to have a day of gratefulness? Can we be grateful? I'm grateful I don't have COVID-19. And most of my friends do not have it, and I'm grateful for that. And if all I have to do is put on a little mask and keep more to myself, you know, is that so bad, really? And here I am, connecting with you, people, good people that I don't even know, and it's possible to do this. So I think we could, I mean, I don't want to sound self-righteous like I'm telling other people what to do, because people are lonely, and I get lonely too, and I do live alone. But I'm very grateful for the outcome of the election and for the orange monster showing himself for what he really is. And there's some big change happening in the world right now that has to happen. And there's an awful lot of us who are really trying our best to make this change happen. So they're really, you know, if we're thinking about thankfulness and truth on the larger level, then the fact that I can't have dinner with some people that I like on a particular day, you know what I mean? What is that in terms of the larger scheme of what's really going on?
Well, I guess that's one of the ways I look at it when I've talked to people as I'm trying to run all my errands before the stores close over the weekend. That's, you know, how a lot of people felt. And some people are panic-stricken because they don't know how they're going to pay their bills or even eat. So, you know, I don't want to ignore those aspects of their experience. I'm not experiencing them right now, but I'm still sensitive to it. But I, you know, many people did say just what you did. You know, it's like, I'm just going to be mindful of the fact that I can contribute some positivity by putting on a mask and by trying to stay home. And maybe I can call into the store and order something as opposed to going out. So we'll see what's going to happen. That's the best we can do.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even occur to me of panic buying and all that stuff. That is really awful. And
I haven't seen panic buying, but what I do see is panic over the businesses that make their living, you know, from us circulating that dollar and socializing and patronizing the local businesses. So we can't go out to restaurants, and some of these other stores will be closing. And so we're hoping that this will not frighten people into other civil disobedience or fear.
I see what you're saying. I guess what I mean is I'm not at all overlooking the fact that there's thousands of people out on the streets and that there's racial injustice and there's still people in those horrible prisons, and I'm not overlooking any of that at all. But does this really have to do with one day a year? It's bigger than that. We have a lot of problems to solve. We have a lot to do. And there's enough of us who know that we need to do these things. And what happens on a particular day called Thanksgiving or whatever, even though it represents a lot, is that really what the issue is, or is there something larger going on that we have to connect with? And
yes,
I'd rather focus on the larger thing than the one day.
Yes.
I might be disappointed that I can't be with my friend on that day, whatever. But
I'm going to call on the telephone and maybe Google Meet and all of that, do the online meeting services. And like you said, talk to people from a distance and stay alive.
Right. I mean, the point is the love and the respect and the thanks and the gratefulness and the connecting with something larger. And I know it's not easy, and there are a lot of people really in despair, and this is like the last blow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you kind of open it up into what's really going on, it's sort of, it doesn't eliminate the sadness or the loneliness, but it puts it in a different context. And that's what I'm trying to do. And if the question is, what is my answer? I guess that's what I can try to do. And try to see what the truth of the situation is, and where's the larger truth, and how can I plug into the larger thing and connect with people who feel that way. And that's why I'm very grateful for your show.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Joe.
I appreciate how you began your conversation by reminding us to lead with kindness. I think realizing that, you know, we are in a world now where there's so much fear and hostility, and people tend to be afraid, and that a response is to lead with kindness, to see where there is kindness, and let that be a means by which we measure all actions and all recommendations. Now, it may seem not real enough to people, but I think in this way, in this world which we live in, as Jones has suggested, kindness is something we should celebrate and highlight. It helps us through these difficult days. This is More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott.
I'm Celeste Carey, and we're waiting on you to give us a call at 503-231-8187. And, you know, everybody's tired of talking about COVID. I know. I am so tired. I try to find anything else to distract me. I've been digging through and reading other books. I've just been trying to socialize and say kind things to the cashiers and the various people I've come across that are out here trying to do public service and what have you. But the funny thing about it is the fact that a couple of the businesses and folks that I had called in hopes that we would be able to talk and discuss what they're doing and what their mark on the world is today. And they say, you know, we'd love to, but, well, COVID. You know, it's interfering. It's interfering with so many different aspects of a life that I can't even imagine how some people are making it through, because I would not have thought that it was going to affect. But we'll go to our next caller and hear their reality and their plans for either civil disobedience, civil compliance, or what the heck is really going on.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Sue.
Hi. I just wanted to call. You mentioned the Clackamas County chair-elect, Judy Smith, on the line, and I heard that on the news last night, and I was livid. I live out in this community where she was elected, and I was very disappointed to see her elected again to the board. I think what she is doing is dangerous to the community out here, and but she despises Kate Brown. She's part of the whole timber unity crap that goes on out here, and I want to see the rest of the Clackamas County Board come out and state that we should be following the governor's guidelines on this at Thanksgiving. I plan on meeting with my sister and her husband, the four of us, and the larger family is not meeting for Thanksgiving. We're going to follow all the guidelines
I'm delivering some things that I usually make for the greater family to the rest of the family so that they can have my sweet potatoes, because I don't want them to go without, but I will put them on the porch and they can pick them up. So, but I am just very, very angry about what this woman has said publicly out here. We have enough trouble getting people to wear their masks and to social distance out here. We don't need that kind of, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And, you know, that's just spreading COVID, and it's just going to make things go on longer. Anyway, that's my rant.
I can appreciate it. I lived in Oregon City for 3 years. I just recently moved back into Portland. And as, you know, part of the whole Clackamas County area, one of the things you realize is that with the fire that hit Beaver Creek just a few miles from Oregon City, people are already decimated and fatigued. And you need something that helps unify people and give them some hope instead of encouraging them to get sucked into this whole disinformation machinery. That's what bothers me.
Well, she was part of the campaign to stop Portland creep when she was on the county commission before, and so they like to blame everything out here on Portland, when in reality we got our own problems out here, that's for sure.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, so I am also grateful though for everything that I have. We were evacuated because of the fires, and we didn't lose anything. Smoke was bad, but I'm very grateful for my family. We're going to do Zoom meetings. We're going to get through this. It makes me sad to not be with my family on Thanksgiving. I love to be around my greater family, my nieces and nephews, and it's great fun. But, you know, it's just 1 year that we're not going to do it. And hopefully next year we can really make up for it, you know. So anyway,
absolutely.
That's my...
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you so much, Sue. And thank you for making sure that your loved ones have your sweet potatoes.
I'm probably going to have some sweet potato flavored something. Or maybe I'll just make a baked sweet potato with something in it. Maybe I'll put some turkey in it and some cranberries.
Okay.
I'll make turkey cranberry relish with a little pineapple and some coconut and some pecans or walnuts, and then I'll put that inside of my baked sweet potato.
All right. Well, you know, I had planned to, and I had planned to celebrate the holidays with friends in Clackamas, as a matter of fact. But those plans will obviously change, and I'm thankful for Sue, who reminded us that the way to show that you love and you care may be to try to protect those you love and care. And it's interesting that the Clackamas County chair to be, you know, when she tweeted her remarks, she's gotten a lot of blowback and comments of people who calling her selfish and irresponsible. So as Sue suggested, you know, we have people in every community, and some unfortunately are in leadership capacities, but regardless of that, there are wise and caring people all around us, as we were reminded early on, and as our last caller just reminded us, that there are ways in which we can show our love by making sure that our loved ones are protected.
Really. And, you know, it's not just about our loved ones. We live in a society and a community. And if all you can think of is how much you miss your family and your friends, not to diminish that concern, but you're missing a point. And that point is, if we don't keep the bonds of community together, there's no society for us to survive in and thrive in and really have all the benefits of stability to enjoy community. But let's go to our next caller.
Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Love the show. Thank you for trying to provide, you know, this topic of conversation. I just wanted to bring up one point that I just wanted to mention. We are always hearing about how COVID, we're supposed to flatten the curve, correct? That's why we're social distancing. That's why we're doing all these different methods. What the problem in what I just heard with somebody explaining it is, like, you know, it's like, yeah, we need to listen to the scientists, and I want you to understand, like, I totally believe we should be doing social distancing and wearing masks and the like, but a lot of people are under this notion that if we're not, it's going to last longer. But in fact, that's entirely opposite. The idea of flattening the curve is to stop the resources being used in the hospital, but in effect, that is what's making it, like, that will be making it last longer. I just kind of wanted to correct it, because we're always talking about, you know, believing the scientists and listening to the scientists, but a lot of times people can't recite what the scientists are telling us. And so this notion that wearing a mask and social distancing is going to make it go over faster, that's not necessarily true. And I just don't want to see people let down when, you know, it's not over yet, you know?
So it's not over yet, and that's actually just one prong. You know, it's like the social distancing and hand washing, whatever, flattens the curve. It cuts transmissibility, and so you don't have vectors spiking. But there's also trying to come up with the therapeutics to either kill it or contain it. And so the social distancing, hand washing, et cetera, is supposed to work with a vaccine and whatever other treatments they can come up with. And that's what those two things at least will help make it in faster. But wearing a mask and hand washing and social distancing, like you said, no, those are not going to make it in faster. It's just going to stop it from spreading faster.
Yeah, it's flattening the curve, which is the idea to stop the resources being utilized, you know, being used all at once in the hospitals, so that they can develop these things. It's just something that I hear a lot of my friends say. You know, it's like, oh, these people aren't wearing a mask. You know, it's not going to, you know, hurry up and wear it, you know, and it'll all be over faster. And it's like, that's not true. That's the one thing that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what's going to happen is, if we don't flatten the curve, we're going to have
people
to triage. And as I said earlier, you know, that'll be deciding between your 95-year-old grandma and, you know, the 11-year-old up the street or around the corner, or it could even be your own 11-year-old from your household because somebody brought it home. And I remember in nursing school, when I first understood the concept of triage, it was kind of frightening because, you know, somebody has to decide who's going to live. And that takes its toll on a human being who actually has compassion. It's not something you decide easily by any means. But your call is right on point, and thank you for making that clarification.
Thank you very much for letting me think it. I'll be listening again. As always, have a good day.
All right. Thank you for your call.
I'd like to take Robbie's point a little further. Or further develop some things that Robbie mentioned but didn't really acknowledge properly, is that wearing a mask and taking all these, preventing the spread, does make it not wearing a mask, not following these public health orders, does make it last longer. Wearing a mask and washing hands and distancing makes it, helps it. Is not doing those things makes it takes a lot longer than doing those things, because it keeps spreading, it keeps spiking, and it and so this is a common thing with people who know a little bit, you know, which is more than nothing,
right?
And And they speak on things that are affected by things that they don't know about or aren't acknowledging. And that's a problem. But
well, yeah. To expand on what you're saying, you know, and the common saying is a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. But the challenge really is that people don't realize there are other components to this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so to clarify what you're saying, we want to wear masks and we want to wash hands and social distance because they still don't know enough about this disease, you know, to even predict what's going to happen. And so why not limit the transmissibility of it? Why not limit the spread of it so that they also have time not only to not use up the resources, but to study it without more people getting sick?
Ed, I'm going to field this call. Y'all talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
And you're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO. And we are part of the Give Back to Portland effort that the Willamette Week Give Guide is organizing this year. And so KBOO is one of the organizations that has been thankfully invited to participate again. There are a lot of organizations that are part of this whole Give Guide effort to make sure we do give back to Portland and not just, you know, thankfully take fruit off the tree, but also plant some new trees. Get involved and give. You can give to Give Guide and KBOO by going to KBOO slash give, and you can give back to Portland. So we have another call. And
Francis is on the line.
Good morning, Francis.
Hi. I am also worried about people whose livelihoods depend on businesses that may shut down. I think that's all the more reason why those two Senate races in Georgia need to be won by the Democrats so that there'll be a Senate majority that actually represents the people. Mm-hmm. And will pass some of this legislation that provides a lot of relief to people who are going through this coronavirus. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I am grateful to be able to step outside and feel the rain and, you know, breathe fresh air. I noticed on your, to put it in perspective, for example, there's a lot of prisoners who are now ordered to remove bodies from the hospitals in El Paso and move them into storage units. And that, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. And yeah. I just saw on Democracy Now! There was a interview with Ronnie Long, the man who had been in prison for 44 years for a crime that he did not commit. And his perspective is interesting. He, you know, the forgiveness that people have for some very, 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 very serious wrongs. You know, when I listen to someone like that and then I hear somebody complain about having to wear a mask, it's kind of like, really? Mm-hmm. Are you serious? You know, it's my little bubble consists of my young son's family and my new grandson, so I'm perfectly content. Although my older son, who usually throws these wonderful, beautiful Thanksgiving parties that includes people from back in the day, from our old neighborhood and everything, he's not so happy because he doesn't get to do that this year. But we're also very grateful that we can at least see each other, you know, from a distance and talk to each other on the phone and text each other. But if we're in a prison for 44 years, that's not possible. And we've got to put things in perspective. And there's really a whole lot of work to do, because what happened to Ronnie Long is still happening to people right now today. While we're complaining about having to wear a mask and not being able to get together for Thanksgiving. So, as they say, be thankful for what you've got.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you, because we talk about our freedom, because we, you know, the loss of freedom because we have to wear a mask. And as you reminded us, Ronnie Long and many others who are physically incarcerated and separated from all of us, and the experience that people who are suffering make our minor complaints melt when we
feel more energized into figuring out a way to where that kind of stuff doesn't happen to people anymore. It shouldn't be happening now. It's right. Kind of ridiculous that it still is.
Yes.
But anyway, you guys take care and have a good
all right.
day.
Thank you for your call. You know, one of the problems we have, I think, is that we have lost the hardiness that we like to tout as part of being rugged individuals. Rugged individuals understood some important concepts, and one of those concepts is delayed gratification. What's more important? Me, I gotta see my family, skip all the rest of you people, or maybe if I bite the bullet, I'll live and I'll be able to see another day and I won't cause somebody else to die. I will be contributing to the greater goodness of the greater community, and I'll be satisfied with a secondary way of communicating and communing with my family and friends. You know, it's kind of up to people to decide, you know, who you are. Are you an annoying orange variant? You know, are you a whining baby? Okay, yeah, I'm coming hard. Because you got to call it. You know, yes, it's sad that we don't see our family. I'm not going to see mine for over 2 years because the snow kept me from seeing my family for the holidays. And I got turned back a couple of times. You know, but I can talk to them on the phone. We can text. It may not be the same, but my goodness, it's not like, say, we were in the 1800s and I may not see them for like 10 years.
Right.
Because of snow and no telephone. You know, and we have to learn to be satisfied with as close as we can get in doing so preserve the future. It's like right now is no good if your now is you're in the grave now, or you didn't cause somebody else to be in the grave. You know, and maybe that sounds like hyperbole, but folks are dying.
People are dying, and as the infection rate, and as I believe Robbie reminded us, hospitals are in all communities, rural and urban communities, are being impacted in such a way that we have to think of more than our immediate gratification, or what we think is our immediate gratification. And one of the, you know, as you suggested, part of the so-called libertarian or pioneer spirit is that you look out for one another. And the way you do that is by seeing others as important or more important than yourselves, you know. Don't want to get biblical, but, you know, love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, you know, the good thing, too, is you won't miss out, because if you are making somebody else more important than yourself, and that's the community value, somebody is making you important, too, more important than themselves. So, you know, it's a combination of delayed gratification and, okay, words, don't do me like that. Delayed gratification and what is the word? Filial, brotherly love, sisterly
love. Brotherly.
Yes, okay. Caring about each other, you know.
Indeed.
Caring about humanity. That's what it comes down to. So, I know, though, you know, nobody called about the civic unrest, But what I want to encourage people to do is let's try to take this by legal means if we can and get to our electeds and ask them to take some hard moves forward for our businesses so that they can figure out alternative ways to stay alive. And we hope that you'll figure it out and stay alive, too, by keeping your community connection, KBOO, on the air and connecting with other KBOO members. This has been More Talk Radio. We want to thank you for your conversations and your calls. And don't forget to support KBOO during Give Guide. We are, after all, your community connection. We'll hear you next week.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.